Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League Game Week 29. It's team selection time as Mark, aka the FPL General, reveals his thoughts and plans for the upcoming blank game week, where there are just four fixtures. Burnley take on Brentford, Luton are against Nottingham Forest, Fulham host Spurs and West Ham take on Aston Villa. My name is Joe. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, Joe. Had a nice weekend. I hope you did too. I know you were gallivanting, going to FPL meetups and Yeovil games and all that kind of stuff. So, your weekend was definitely more exciting than mine. But yeah, feeling good and looking forward to navigating this blank game week.
Yes, certainly. Your team, well, we'll put your team up in a sec, but your team's quite well set up, actually. And it's quite similar to a lot of free hit teams, certainly my free hit team. But yes, you mentioned I was at the Yeovil game. I went to an FPL meets for the Southwest, and Tom Glover, FPL Face Off Tom, I think he is on Twitter, organised it. And yeah, watched a game in the pub, went up to Yeovil, lose to Welling, good goal from Welling, and then back to the pub, football. So perfect. And I think all FPL meets should involve actual real football as well.
Much better being at a Yeovil Welling game than checking your phone every 5 minutes to see what Dominic Solanke's up to.
Yes.
That was time well spent.
Well, timely. We'll put your team up. You've actually done all right this week. You're on 46 points, but minus four, so 42 points, and you've got three doublers to go. So do you want to just take us briefly through your team this week, who your heroes and less heroic people are?
Yeah, so obviously, like many others, when it got to Saturday evening, Saturday night, it was not good. It was blanks all around. Thinking back to the transfers, I was always going to sell Estupinan for Alfie Doughty, so I followed through with that one. And of course, Estupinan rocks up with a clean sheet, so pressure on Alfie Doughty midweek. Then it was a Friday night / Saturday morning decision. Do I keep Haaland or do I be adventurous and take a minus four and get Carlton Morris? I was close to doing it Friday night and I said, do you know what? I'm not sure. I'm going to sleep on it. And I woke up Saturday morning, a couple of hours before deadline. I said, do you know what? This feels like this is the move I want to make. I want to be a bit more adventurous, a bit more aggressive. So I pulled the trigger. And obviously after the Luton game on Saturday, I was absolutely terrified of Erling Haaland. Mm. And thankfully, was out for Mother's Day dinner during most of the Manchester City game. Caught the last 15 minutes and just a huge sigh of relief at the final whistle, as I'm sure Haaland sellers experienced as well. So basically, it was a tale of blanks everywhere, but the Tottenham guys saved me. And it feels like actually a pretty big game week when a lot of others have blanked. So I was talking last week as well about my defence. I was always going to get Alfie Doughty. I was considering, you know, taking it up to a minus eight to get another Luton defender. But then Postecoglou said on Friday that Porro he's trained all week. and he's fine. So I expected him to start. Didn't expect a clean sheet, but thought, you know what, he's a bit of a differential now. And I feel like buying one Luton defender feels like enough. So I just started him, you know, did not expect anything. So that was a very nice seven-pointer. Son and Madison came in the week previously as part of a minus four, and both have delivered in both game weeks. So it's Tottenham that's, you know, been saving me, because elsewhere, you know, captain blank from Solanke, not that it mattered too much with the ownership, but it feels good to have, you know, mainly to have survived the Haaland sale. And I know Cole Palmer could hurt me Monday night, but elsewhere, not too much damage has been done. And it's allowed me to be sitting on a nice green arrow. So I'm hopeful now, because we've kind of had a bit of a split. People went the Luton route, people went the Bournemouth route. So I'm back in my Morris, hopefully, to wipe out Bournemouth clean sheets midweek. And then it should be a very healthy green.
Yeah, so, I mean, like me, you've got Garnacho on the bench. That's the standard. He's a perfect first sub. Would actually be a perfect fifth midfielder to actually play. One day we'll get his points. But we've got him in place for a potential double game week 34. So we'll have a look at the season ticker in a sec. But yeah, so your Spurs players, they've carried you through. And I think that's going to be those three, I think, are going to be in all three hit teams as well. But you're already up on the deal there. I swapped KDB to Son. So I was pretty happy with that. And I know people, I think there was something from the official account saying, when KDB's assist went in, do you regret selling? And I was like, no, no, because the guy I sold it for has got 17 points. So KDB can do whatever he likes. but yeah, the Haaland Morris move, it was the tricky one. So because I'm free hitting, I kept Haaland. So he's in place. But yeah, it totally makes sense. It's a risk, but it was totally makes sense to get Morris in, because Morris plays in the double in the blank game week 29. He's got a better fixture than Haaland in 30. So what's your plan with getting Haaland back in? Presumably 30, 31, you will. And you looking to wild card around then?
Yeah, I'm almost certainly going to wild card in either 30 or 31. I know 31 seems to be very popular within the community, but the more I look at it, I might just go a week earlier. And, you know, even though Haaland does play Arsenal that week, he'd obviously come back in on a wild card. And it's not fun. Let's be honest. It's not fun sitting through Manchester City games, regardless of who he plays, because he's so good and his ownership is so high. And then the other factor is Liverpool are at home to Brighton in game week 30. I would load up on Liverpool assets. And then Cole Palmer, I think, is home to Burnley as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of factors where I might go a week earlier maybe than others. And the other thing is it's quite a tight turnaround between 30 and 31. I think it's a weekend round of fixtures and then a Tuesday deadline. So I like the idea of having a bit more time as well to prepare. Actually, I think we have 2 weeks, don't we, before we have an international break. And I always like that for wildcard tinkering. So probably leaning towards 30 now more so than 31. And that would mean Haaland and Salah can come back in quite easily. So when we get to some tables we're going to look at. I'm looking at short-term punts now, which is quite fun.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, you mentioned about we'll put a season ticker up now. And I have to time my transfers quite well. I'm a free hitter in 29, and we can see there. So, we'll look at your bus team, but I mean, those, obviously putting your team up for the week, you're well stocked. You just got just a couple more players to get, really, to get a pretty good 10 out for game week 29. But very few fixtures there. Nottingham Forest play Luton, Fulham, Tottenham, Brentford, Burnley, West Ham, Aston Villa, are among the fixtures there. Game week 30, we're back again. Yeah, so we've got this tricky City-Arsenal tie. But as you said, you've got some good fixtures for Tottenham. So Son looks a good captaincy shout. Chelsea, Palmer against Burnley looks great. And Salah and Liverpool against Brighton all at home. These are really good fixtures there. And then Dominic Solanke as well, home to Everton. And then as it moves on, game week 31, as you said, looks probably maybe a little better for getting those sorts of players in if you've already got Son. So Palmer's still got a good fixture at home to Manchester United. And Haaland, then it gets a bit better at home to Aston Villa. So that's when City assets can be brought in as well. I'm actually going to be away. I've got to time my thing. I'm going to be away from the deadline of game week 31 and 32. So I'm going to probably go into 33, 34 with two transfers just for the sake of I'm not going to be able to make many moves. I'll just do something obvious, I think, then and carry forward. So,
yeah. But you mentioned Solanke. You mentioned Solanke there as well, and that's going to be Solanke's probably going to be another factor that might bring my wild card to 30 instead of 31. Because going back to the Haaland Morris decision last week, it was either get Morris in for Haaland and then do Haaland to Tony this week. But because I sold Erling Haaland last week, it now has to be Solanke who goes if I want to bring in Ivan Toney. So if Solanke goes this week, then a wildcard 30 opens the door again to bring him back in for Everton at home. So there's a lot of, obviously, factors at play here. But I feel like wildcard 30 is maybe shaping up to suit my squad better maybe than some others.
For those that aren't looking to wildcard in 30, 31, so that includes me, I'm probably going to look at 35 or even 36, but probably 35 with a bench boost in mind for 37. Because I'm okay for 34, I think. I've just got to just deal with that with transfers. But for those who aren't going to wildcard 30, 31, are looking to get a player in now, ahead of game at 29, Nottingham Forest actually look quite good. There was a bit of rotation at the weekend, though, with Elanga and Awoniyi getting rotated. But I don't know if we're going to see that too often, especially with Elanga. But nevertheless, they game week 30, they've got Crystal Palace at home. They've got Fulham at home, Tottenham away, Wolves at home. It's a good bunch of fixtures. Fulham as well, they look good for investment. Well, they do have Tottenham in the game week 29, but they've got Sheffield United away, game week 30. Nottingham Forest away, game week 31. Then Newcastle at home. Newcastle don't travel that well. And then West Ham away. So it's a good bunch of fixtures. And you mentioned Ivan Toney as well. So Ivan Toney could be a player to not only get in, but keep, perhaps. Burnley, Manchester United. So he's got Burnley in 29. And then Manchester United, Brighton, Aston Villa, Sheffield United. It's a really quite nice run of fixtures for an attacker. And the same goes for Tottenham. Good fixtures. They go straight into game week 30 with Luton, West Ham United after that. Then Nottingham Forest and Newcastle away. So okay fixtures there. You're looking for a one or two week punt, I guess.
Yeah, and in my mind, it's probably 1 week because I think there's a very good chance I will activate wildcard during international break. But again, just thinking about people who are not wildcarding soon, longer term as well. The Forest team news was very surprising at the weekend. When the team news come out, I checked my live score app and you read through the lineups and I was kind of baffled as to why they were all benched. But again, Elanga in particular, I think, has been really, really good this season. And I fully expect him to be back in 29. But, it might, those who are free hitting in 29, it might be enough to scare them off just in case he is benched again. And I think Hudson-Odoi as well. But longer term, I still think they're good picks. Maybe the safe longer term play is a Gibbs-White, where there's probably less chance of a bench in there. But yeah, I really like what Elanga's been doing at Nottingham Forest. We know he's a good player from his Manchester United days. So there's plenty of scope out there for good long-term picks as well as the short-term ones.
Yeah, definitely. Good fixtures coming up and some good players. Langer was, I think still is, their talisman, as in he's most involved in their goals. But they do have options up front. But yeah, they flopped. And that was a team, with a battered and bruised Brighton from Roma clash. They would have... that was an opportunity for Nottingham Forest have got the better of Brighton, or at least given Brighton a good game. So that could have been an opportunity for them. But yeah, they didn't take it. They benched a lot of their great, good players. So I expect them to come in as well.
Just looking at the ticker here as well, Tottenham are close to the top with Fulham, Luton, West Ham, Forest, Newcastle. Mm. I think whether you're free hitting or not, or whether you're wildcarding soon or not, probably one of the top teams to target for assets, especially after that result, very impressive 4-0 away victory against a very good Aston Villa team. So I just think, I'm kind of thinking end of the season, I want to target the top three teams in the title race, but I also want to target Tottenham players as well.
Yeah, it's good to I know from last season with Brighton and Villa, West Ham, it turned out to be Liverpool as well. I'm talking those that were going for a European place, but not the top four. Obviously, Liverpool's case, they're always going for the top four. Whether they get it or not was another matter. But the whole point of those teams is that, especially with the likes of last season with Villa and Brighton, there's a real hunger to get into Europe. In Brighton's case, for the first time, for Villa's case, for the first time in years. And so it's those teams like Tottenham who might not get top four, but they're certainly going for getting back into Europe. Chelsea as well. I'd be very interested to see the end of the season they have, because they have the potential to do really well, which is why you mentioned getting Palmer back in game week 30.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I lost Palmer around, I can't remember, around game week 25, just before he played Man City and was going into a blank game week. But it was always the plan, get him back around game week 30, 31. So I'm looking forward to owning him again, and I expect him to do well Monday night. You know, I don't own him. He's, I think, around 60% owned around my rank. So I'm expecting a bit of pain there. But it doesn't matter because Carton Morris is getting a hat-trick on Wednesday.
Yes. I hope not. I don't have any idea. But I hope Solanke doesn't get a goal disallowed and doesn't miss a penalty. So that's not good for his owners there. Let's have a look. So I've got a table up. I'll put up on screen. Of last six matches, and these are the best attackers from blank game week 29 teams there. I've sorted this by expected goal involvement over that period. So how many are expected to get? I've also got the expected goal involvement delta, for those that don't know. Basically, that is, if it's positive, that means they're overperforming their goal involvement. So, for example, Watkins is top. He's got... This is last six matches. He's got six goals and four assists. Six matches he's played. That's 10 goal involvements. Amazing. But he's overperformed by about three. So he should have got about seven. And then looking at the match, West Ham away, pretty good. Created six chances, 57 FPL points. So that's what we're sort of looking at here in terms of that call of overperformance from their goal involvement. And Morris is second there. I've highlighted the ones that you could get in. You might not get in, but you could consider, because the other ones you already own. So you can see there, if you're going into this with a free hit or you're going into this without these players, Watkins is the best to get in terms of expected goal involvement over the last six matches. Morris is next there. He's had 36 points, four goals and an assist. Not bad for 5.2. And then we start getting into the blue category. I've highlighted these in blue. Players you could get in. Right, I'll go with these ones first. Could you be tempted to get in? You're looking to get an attack, a forward and a midfielder in. Could you be tempted by Muniz at Fulham? 4.5.
I think if I didn't already own a Tottenham defender, I would maybe be more interested. Okay. I've been talking about him for weeks, you know, as have many others. He's kind of come out of nowhere, at least in my world of watching football, that he just looks so good. He passes the eye test every time I watch him. And obviously here, his underlying numbers are pretty decent as well. And in my mind, you know, over the course of the season, Tottenham, a team that don't keep too many clean sheets, but of course they kind of scrap that at the weekend and manage to get one. The Van de Ven injury is a concern. We don't have any clarity yet on that one, but you know, watching the game, it didn't look too good. And as a guess, just maybe he misses one game at least. So that's obviously a positive if you're looking at Muniz or you already own him. I think Fulham have been posting some good expected numbers as well in terms of attack. So I probably do fancy them to score against Spurs. So I'm probably banking on attacking returns from Pedro Porro. And if they're going to score, there's a good chance Muniz is involved. Yep. But I think what it comes down to is probably another player on this list that I've kind of been planning to get for weeks. And I know he hasn't been scoring points, but I think he's got a better fixture.
Yeah. Muniz 4.5 could be a good option for people to bring in, I think. 44 points, five goals and one assist in his last six matches. His expected goal involvement was over three. So he's been overperforming by a good 2.5 goal involvements, created six chances as well. Yeah, I think he's a good differential to put in. He'd be very low owned. It's the next player on the list that I'm looking to get on my free hit, and we're going to be seeing a lot of free hit drafts from content creators across social media, and it's going to have this guy in it, Bailey. 5.7 million. He scored two goals, three assists. He's pretty nailed on to start. He's had 32 FPL points. This is last six matches. He's expected to have been involved in over three goal involvements. He's in fact been in five. But because of the nature of those, his delta, he's pretty much on course for his delta. So he's been marginally overperforming last six matches. But with 11 chances created as well. He's certainly got the pedigree over the last six matches to do well. Bailey, he looks like a good player to get in for you.
Bailey's just a very good player. Again, as an eye test manager more so, he just always looks good. What I don't like is his minutes. He very rarely plays 90. But he's, for free hitters in 29, I think he's perfect. I think he's the perfect free hit player because a lot of people won't go there during the regular season because you're worried about minutes. You're worried about the odd benching. And it's sometimes quite hard to pinpoint when his points are going to come. So as an upside pick for a one-week punt, he's a player that can score 10 to 15 points against anyone. I think he's that good. And if I was on a free hit in 29, there's a very good chance he would probably make it. I think, like I said, again, it probably comes down to the good old Bailey versus Douglas Luiz debate again. I find it very hard to get excited about Douglas Luiz, especially when it's 1 week. I feel like Douglas Luiz is a great tick-along player. Even that's doing him a disservice. He's a great FPL pick. But as a one-week punt, Leon Bailey, I think he probably would make a free hit squad if I was on it.
Next name is Son, who's already in your team, going nowhere. I suppose the question really is captaincy. I'll just read out his stats and you can tell me whether he's going to be your captain or not, or whether he's in the running. But he's got 3 goals and 4 assists in his last 6 matches. Expected to be involved in over 3. So he has been overperforming. But Son's overperformance, he's always overperforming because he only needs a sniff of a chance to do well. He scores the sorts of goals that perhaps other players don't score as well. He's created 12 chances and he's had 44 FPL points across his last 6 matches. In your team, I mean, he is away to Fulham, but is he the best captain?
I think he is now on the most recent game week. Again, I like to simplify FPL. Tottenham just beat Villa 4-0. And I think the two best captaincy candidates are Watkins and Heung-Min Son. I was kind of probably like many people, you know, if you rewind back 3 or 4 game weeks, most of us would have said we're going to captain Watkins in game week 29. But I just think the way Son has performed in recent matches, the way Tottenham more so are performing, and, you know, out of position, extra points, if there's a clean sheet, if there's goals, he gets more than Watkins does. Penalties, probably, whereas Watkins doesn't. Then and again, I like the fixture more. I like Fulham for Son more than I like West Ham for Watkins. So, yeah, I think Son has jumped ahead of Ollie in the captaincy standings this week.
Yep. I think so too. He's currently my captain. Alanga's the next name. He's in my free hit side, but he's currently on the bench. He's first sub at the moment. It was just that benching at the weekend scare me. But I do think he'll be back in. He is against Luton. Although I'll be playing Alfie Doughty, and I imagine most people would, free hitting or not, who do own him, they'll play Alfie Doughty because of the assist potential. I don't know if I'll get a clean sheet there, but if I went for 3-5-2, I would play Alanga, and that's an option for you as well. You don't have to play 3-4-3, for example. You could get 2 midfielders in instead of an attacker, and of which one of those could be Alanga. It'll be low owned, but he scored a goal, has an assist. Been underperforming. He should have been involved in 3 goals. He's got Luton away, created 5 chances, 20 FPL points. Could be a good differential. So 2 things going on there. Are you tempted by Alanga? And are you tempted to just go in with 2 strikers and get 5 midfielders for this?
That's a very good point you make, because I've just kind of been automatically thinking Solanke goes to Tony because Tony plays Burnley. But I also mentioned earlier that if I sell Solanke this week, it's another factor that I might wildcard in 30. So if I didn't do it, if I kept Solanke, maybe I could wait until 31, for example, for the wildcard. Yeah. So it's definitely something to think about. But when I do think about it very quickly, it's the fixture. It's Burnley. It's Tony. I know he hasn't been scoring recently, but I also like that because I think less people will buy him now, because people who just look at recent FPL points will say, right, I'll go somewhere else. Maybe they won't go for a 3-4-3. Maybe they will go 3-5-2, and they won't have Ivan Toney. And I think not picking Ivan Toney is overthinking it. Yeah. Penalty taker, talisman, one of the worst teams in the league he's up against. So for that reason, I think it will be Solanke out for Toney and a 3-4-3 formation. You mentioned Elanga on your free hit, and you said, I think he plays. I'm the same. I think he plays. But if you're on a free hit and you're using the words, I think you avoid.
Yeah.
And you pick players that I know will play. So for that reason, the benching would be enough just to send me elsewhere. And again, if you're playing Alfie Doughty, why not hope that Luton do keep a clean sheet and then don't hedge against Elanga or Gibbs-White or something like that? So I'd probably just... Doughty would definitely be in a free hit squad, and I'd probably just avoid Forrest and hope Luton can somehow keep a clean sheet.
Okay, so it sounds like Tony, we'll come to him in a bit. He's actually at the bottom of this table, but we'll come to Tony in a sec. So it's more a midfielder you're after. But there is another, I think he's listed as a forward in this game though, Werner. You can't get him in because you've already tripled up on Tottenham. So this is why I haven't highlighted him. But he's good for other people to mention. He was, once again, I think he'll play, but there is competition. And if Richarlison is back, which I don't think he will be, but if he is back, there's yet more competition up front. Nevertheless, Werner has got a goal, an assist and two goals, and created seven chances and 24 FPL points in his last six matches. And his expected goal involvement has been well over two, which is, of course, he's got. And he's been only marginally overperforming there. So he's pretty much on course for what he's been doing there. If you hadn't tripled up on Tottenham and you were looking for a differential, would Werner be in the mix?
I don't think so. I don't think he'd be in my top three Tottenham. I think Son's the obvious number one pick, given that Madison's just scored. Most people will go there as well, not just because he scored, but we know over a long period of a couple of seasons, Madison's a very good FPL asset. And then the third Tottenham pick, again, I'm biased here because I do own Pedro Porro, but again, it just showed bonus points are probably something that a lot of managers overlook. And we probably, don't pick enough bonus point magnets in our FPL teams. And Pedro Porro is one of those. And he did it again. Yeah, those 1 or 2 points, if you build those up over the course of a season, it can make a huge difference. So I think I'd be on the triple up, which I currently own, and that's why. And again, rotation concerns with Timo Werner, so I don't think it's worth a risk.
Yeah, I mean, that probably sums up me as a free hitter going into this. Son, I've already got. Porro, I've had many weeks, but I got rid of recently because he was injured. Although I might have gotten rid of him just before that. But nevertheless, yeah, I like his all-round points potential. He's a good player to own. And Madison, yeah, it looks like he's a bit back. So he's got three assists and a goal. Madison's next on the list. His expected goal involvement should have been involved in well over two goals. It's obviously above that. Only marginally overperforming, but created 11 chances over his last six matches that he's played. So that might actually be going back quite far, some of those six matches. Because he had just come back from injury. But yeah, that's why he's in your team. So he's an obvious pick there. Next name isn't an obvious pick, though. If you weren't going to get Tony in and you were going to get a striker in, a differential one, Fofana at Burnley. Now, the reason I put him in there is because he's actually looked quite good. And he's at home to Brentford, who are quite leaky. There's something about over the weekend with Burnley and Sheffield United. I think perhaps the talk of, look, they're definitely going down may have got to them. And whilst they are definitely going down, they could be putting up a fight. Burnley striker at home. He's got three goals in his last six matches. And he's got five starts. So he's fairly nailed on. Expected goal involvement should be over two. Created three chances. You don't really need money this week. So you don't need to go down to a Fofana. But could you be tempted as a differential, especially if it was just 1 week?
If I was free hitting, then I'm going to say maybe. I think when I think about free hitters this week, you'll have a lot of managers. Most free hit managers will play it safe, play the obvious picks. Maybe you're having a good season, well positioned in many leagues, and are just not going to take any chances. But there's obviously managers out there as well that need to look for opportunities between now and the end of the season if you're chasing. And Fofana is a very good example. He's a good striker, has a good pedigree. He scored goals for Burnley. And from memory as well, I'm pretty sure he's had a few goals ruled out as well. So he's always there, thereabouts. And I like going against what others are doing sometimes. You know, zig when others zag. So a lot of people, I think a lot of free hit managers will go Flecken, Reguilon if he's okay, etc. So, and look at the weekend just gone by. You know, I had Areola and Fofana pops up and ruins my clean sheet. So if you're on a free hit this week and you go Fofana and you don't go for Brentford goalkeeper or defence and you go elsewhere, then even just one Fofana goal would be massive for rank and mini league. So it's an opportunity, but I think it's only if you need to chase. But I wouldn't stop anyone because he's a good player.
Okay, the last four on this list are sort of two West Ham players and two Brentford players. And this will be, your decision around this will be based on your attitude to risk. Two will be very highly owned. Two will be very lowly owned. But the two lowly owned ones could outscore the others. And that could be an opportunity there. So we'll go with the West Ham ones first. Kudos will not be well owned. But he's had two assists, created seven chances. And all of the last four we're mentioning here, their expected goal involvement's around two. So he's at home to Aston Villa. Meanwhile, Bowen, obviously more prolific, three goals and an assist. He is totally nailed on. Expected goal involvement, once again, around two. He's created six chances as well. So out of those two, I would imagine Bowen's not in your team. So I would imagine you're probably going to be looking to get Bowen in.
Yeah, he's much like Ivan Toney. It's kind of the obvious, no thought involved pick. Bowen's had a very good season. He's got a hat-trick recently. He was in my team a lot. He was in my Game Week 20 wildcard and got me four blanks in a row before the hat-trick after he was sold. So Bowen is probably my kind of pick in terms of my style of management. And, you know, my season's going okay now, especially after the good game week this week. But again, I'm thinking if there's a very good chance I wildcard in 30, then why not? Why not be a bit more adventurous? Maybe avoid a Bowen and maybe Kudus comes into it. And a player we probably should have added to the list here as well is Paqueta, because Paqueta probably has penalties. And obviously we know how good he is. And if Bowen is scoring, there's a good chance that Paqueta is involved. So I think free hitters in particular will... This is the position, maybe your fourth midfielder, if you're in a 3-4-3, the fourth midfield position is up for grabs. And there's probably six or seven that are actually perfectly viable as a one-week punt. But I probably do need to give it a bit more thought as well. Do I just do the boring Bowen move? And of course, we're talking about me getting a forward and a midfielder. It would be a -4. But again, you know, I don't have 11 players. So I'm definitely open to, you know, getting a player that has the potential to get 10 plus points. And who knows, I might even go further and take a -8 and get an extra one. But I think I'll be content with a -4 and 10 players. Kudus, really like him as well. But yeah, people can probably guess what I'm most likely to do. I think Bowen and Toney are just too obvious, I think, for my kind of style of management.
Yeah, I mean, my free hit midfield currently in a 3-4-3 is Son, Maddison, Bowen and Bailey. Not messing around there with any. So I'll be missing out on all these differentials I'm mentioning. So this is for other managers who are bolder and braver than us.
you're pretty set on Leon Bailey then?
Yeah. I'm pretty set. Yeah. Although I'm going to be doing a live stream with Tom Freeman, who's Fantasy Football Scouts deputy editor and also an Aston Villa fan and goes regularly to see them. And so I will be quizzing him about Bailey, particularly how good Bailey is away from home as well, because I'm always interested in Villa or home in a way, because I know Douglas Luiz is very much a player. If they were playing at home, I'd be getting Douglas Luiz in, just like that.
Yeah. I think doing this table, what it's made me think about is, again, if I think about one fixture, if I'm going to wildcard in 30, Villa versus West Ham, if I think Villa win that game, then maybe I go Bailey instead of Jared Bowen. So yeah, it's not as straightforward as I thought it was. I think Bailey certainly does tempt me.
Yeah, no, I'm sort of hedging my bets and getting Bailey and Bowen there. But nevertheless, let's have a look at Brentford though. They haven't been great recently. Reguilon has got a hamstring problem, but it's not serious, so he may actually play. And we'll talk about defenders in a bit because I've got a place up for grabs in my free hit team. That was to be Reguilon, and I hope it still is, but it might not be if he's not going to play. But yeah, Brentford. Toney is on and 19 FPL points across his six matches that he's played. His expected goal involvement's around two, pretty much on par. And he's created five chances and he's on penalties. He is the main man there, but he might not necessarily be the talisman. In recent weeks, it's actually been Visser has looked a bit more excited. So Visser's got three goals, so a goal more than Tony, and Tony's on penalties. And his expected goal involvement is actually a little bit higher as well. So I think those chasing, I think Visser over Tony could be an option.
An option, but I still don't think I would recommend it. Even if you are chasing, I think if you want to do a few different things, you get Tony and you make your differences elsewhere in your squad. I think Tony's a no-brainer against Burnley. Again, small sample size here of Visser doing well in more recent times, but bigger sample size, Ivan Tony's career in the Premier League, we know what he can do. Yeah. We know what he's about. And again, Visser, there's always Neil Maupay in the back of my mind as well. There's, you know, he does eat into his minutes and who knows, you know, could get a start over him when you need Wissa most. So again, I think Wissa, I put him in the same bucket as kind of Timo Werner, unnecessary risk, I think.
Yeah. So before we look at your bus team, just a reminder to everyone, do press that like button, do remember to subscribe as well. Keep up to date with the latest videos and podcasts and do check out latest members offers at fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Before we look at your bus team though, I've done a table. Well, I'm not going to put it up on the screen because I just thought of it. and it was around defenders. Now, the reason I'm putting it up on the screen, because you're not interested in defenders. You've got your defence all sorted. You're not looking to get another one. And to be honest, it's quite tough because of those fixtures. It's quite hard to pinpoint down a clean sheet. So I'm looking at attacking returns on a free hit. And if you were in the market for a defender, you would be. And when I was looking at expected goal involvement, it's only really four names that stood out. And these have all got an expected goal involvement over their last six matches of over one. And in Alfie Doughty's case, with his 17 chances created, seven shots inside the box last six matches, he is the absolute top one to get if you're looking for an attacking return. Then there's a doggy for Spurs. Once again, he's created six chances at three shots inside the box, has actually scored as well. And all of these minutes per baseline bonus, which is the jobbing stuff they get in order to impress the bonus point system, are all under all very good as well. And they're all nailed on if they're fit. So he's good as well. Porro is in the mix as well. Eight chances created, 31 corners. So he's good for the bonus as well. So he's doing other stuff. There's minutes per baseline bonus point system is 5.3. So getting a baseline bonus point system point every 5.3 minutes. And Reguilón's the other name on there, only the fourth name. He's created six chances, expected goal involvement 1.22. He's had six corners as well and a clean sheet. So that's why this would... I would be looking to play three of these. Annoyingly, I want Maddison and Son, and I think most people would. So there's not a space to get two defenders in. But yeah, it's just these four. I mean, you probably haven't really thought about your defence that much. But yeah, it's tough, isn't it, to get a clean sheet. So I think you've got to go for attacking returns in this one.
Yeah, I think the fixtures this week are just a bit meh when it comes to defenders. You know, you've got low expectations for all of them. So you get Doughty, you get Porro, and then free hitters, you just fill in the gap, the third one. And you just back a fixture, back a certain team. You know, I was just looking at my team there again. I've got Pau Torres. And maybe you just back a team like that. You back Villa to win. You back a clean sheet and try and get six points from it. So I wouldn't overly stress about your defence this week.
No. Okay. Well, let's have a look at your bus team. So do you want to run through that and with all the stuff we're bearing in mind, you know, the table have shown you and what your likely moves will be.
Yeah. So currently have eight players: Areola, Doughty, Pedro Porro, Pau Torres, Son and Maddison in midfield, and Morris and Watkins up front. So I kind of committed to free hit a couple of weeks ago, and I was really banking on Pau Torres and Pedro Porro to recover And thankfully, it looks like they've just recovered just in time. So I hope Pau Torres comes through Thursday, or I hope he doesn't play at all and then is ready for the West Ham game. So transfer-wise, I sold Haaland last week, so there's loads of cash available, which is nice. So it leaves things flexible. Solanke to Ivan Toney, I think, is absolutely 100% going to happen, unless something happens midweek to change that. Then it's a case of, do I take a -4 to get to 10? Or do I take a -8 and get to 11? Of course, I could just play with 9 as well, but I like to just get as many players on the pitch as possible. So Solanke to Toney. Then the initial thought was just get Jared Bowen. But you know, the more I look at it and the other names we mentioned, and the fact that I've got Pau Torres at the back, maybe I don't get a Jared Bowen, and I hope Pau Torres gets a clean sheet. And then maybe I go all in on Villa. Maybe I do get a Leon Bailey to give myself triple Villa, triple Spurs. And then double Luton as well. So then if, let's say I did something like Garnacho to Leon Bailey, that gives me 10 players. Then it's a question of, do I let a Foden or Saka go, which I don't really mind too much because I'm going to wildcard soon. I mean, you know, maybe I go Bowen and Bailey, or maybe I find that differential somewhere else in the midfield position. So I think most likely Solanke to Toney, one midfielder comes in, and then I just play with 10 for -4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do. Or -8 and get another one in. I mean, looking at Foden and Saka there, so if you were to get rid of one of those two, which one would you get rid of? And I suppose this says, say you're not going to wildcard in 30, 31. Which one would you think I can live without for the next few game weeks?
Really tricky. Haven't thought about it too much because I do have the wildcard soon. But gut instinct is Saka stays, Foden goes. But again, both are just fantastic. So, you know, you probably want to keep both for the rest of the season. But if I was forced to, I think Saka would survive and Foden would go.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, because I'm looking, so for my team, I'm not looking to wildcard in 30, but I've got enough money in the bank to do Foden or Saka to Salah. And I think Salah's a better pick than either of those two that week. They play each other. And I think it would be Foden would go, reluctantly. And because having Haaland already, I don't really have any other attacking Arsenal threat. And I think Saka's still the best one there in terms of FPL points as well. But yeah, you could just take another -4 and just get Bowen in, for example.
Yeah, and you know what? I think what I'll probably do is it'll be a case of Friday night, probably get your Toney and get your midfielder for your -4. And then I'll wake up Saturday morning and think, why not just get an 11th player? It's, as we say, it's a -2 rather than a -4. Take the gamble. If it doesn't work out, it's -2, worst case scenario. So yeah, maybe I do end up playing with 11. And then I think there's a good chance I will wildcard during international break.
Yeah. Definitely. I think also, you know, as you said, taking Garnacho out as well. But I think about Garnacho, I don't know what his price is compared to what you got him in for. I know, but I think he's going to be a very, very popular when Manchester United's double is announced. And if that is game week 34, especially over the weekend, people saw him winning two penalties just like that. He's full of points. You and I know all about that. We've had him for a few weeks in our teams, looking at his points on our bench, and I'm looking forward to playing him again at some point. I've got a few points off him.
Having a quick look at it, picked Garnacho up at 4.7. He's currently 5. But kind of across the board when it comes to prices, especially if you get to this stage of the season, I know money will be important soon with, you know, Salah, Haaland, Saka, Son and all of that, but I don't let it bother me too much. And if I need to sell Garnacho this week or a Foden and lose a bit of value tied up, I'll find a solution whenever it comes to the wild card. So I don't mind. I just don't mind playing with maybe a bit less cash than other managers. It is what it is. And I play with what I've got.
Yeah. That's it. When people talk about building up value, I always think as well, that building up value bit is for to do these sorts of decisions. Oh, I'll get that player out. I'll get him back in. It's going to cost me 0.3 more, but that's why I've got that money. That's why I built up the value. And I much prefer that way of looking at value rather than, I need to get Son, Salah, Haaland, all of the big players in, because you find that it's actually impossible to get all of the players you want in because you're going to be something like 7 million short. So it's impossible anyway, but it's easy to, you know, make up 0.3 and just forget about it.
Yeah. And there's often like when it comes to wildcard, there's often just one compromise you need to make. You get a 5 million defender from a team instead of a 6 million defender from a team, and you know, could end up outscoring them anyway. Yeah. So I don't worry too much about it.
Right, yeah. Okay. This looks like a good team. I was looking at a look at this team, and I was quite surprised to see it in comparison to free hit teams. It's pretty similar. It's, you're going to be like one player shy of a free hit team, and that player might not do well. So this could completely do the same as a, or even outscore, because you're playing Areola, and a free hitter probably won't play Areola. You never know. Areola could save a penalty.
It feels good that, you know, Torres and Porro are fit now. The Tottenham guys just performed very well. But again, of course, you know, I have taken hits for 4 weeks in a row now, and I'm going to take one or two more again this week. So, you know, we can't really judge it until probably the end of the season. But again, just the simple fact of the three Tottenham players performing well has set me up. You know, it's really kind of propelled me into a good position now, because to be honest, I wasn't enjoying FPL for a couple of weeks. And that one performance has you know, reignited my joy for the game. So hopefully it can kick on now.
Okay, well, good luck with the game week. And good luck with your wild card when you play it. Good luck to those watching and listening. Also, do press that like button. Does help us out. And do remember to subscribe as well. Keep up to date with our videos and podcasts. In the meantime, Mark, take care. See you soon.
Cheers, Joe.